Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. That's right, Wednesday, February the 3rd, and it's time to discuss the Super Bowl, along with some other college football stuff that's been going on. Chris, you know it's National Signing Day. How you feeling?
I don't care.
Are the Bayou Bengals looking good, in your opinion?
I haven't looked at it at all, Gary. my opinion about signing day. I don't give a shit.
I can understand. Today was a boring one. It was there was nothing happening. So there's been a couple of things here and there. We'll talk about it, but yeah, goodness gracious, lots to discuss. Obviously, there's some exciting news on my front, and we'll talk about the importance of it with video games and whatnot. We'll start with that here in a minute. But first, of course, the rundown. WinningCuresEverything.com is the website. Go and check it out for everything that you want to know about us. All of our shows and whatnot will be posted over there. Obviously, all of our SBR stuff is posted over there as well. You can also find the SBR stuff at sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. If you miss the live show that we do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which that will be changing once football season is over, et cetera, et cetera. But if you miss the live show, you can always go back and grab the podcast. We will be doing 3 podcasts a week. Not sure of the schedule as of right now. But either way, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast on any of your favorite podcast locations, whatever they're called, platforms, etc. Apple Podcast is the one that we get the most traction from. Brown Yeti jumps in. He said, "Sup, fellas." Casey, of course, said, "What up, players?" It's nice to see everybody in. They are jumping in on YouTube. If you would like to jump in on YouTube or Facebook or Periscope or Twitch, any of those platforms, you can do that, and it will populate right there on your screen in the bottom left-hand corner. Terry jumps in, of course. He said, "What's up?" So we got the regulars in. We got the guys in, ready to rock and roll. We will go ahead and start off with this. EA Sports is bringing back college football, and, buddy, I am pumped about this. Now, obviously, we have been talking about the EA Sports video game. And if you follow the YouTube channel, I do simulations of games with current rosters and all that kind of stuff from the NCAA 14 games. This was not, I would say it was not expected. It was very, you know, they just released a tweet. They didn't like send out a press release or anything like that. It was like, boom, hey, by the way, we're bringing this back. And it was EA Sports College Football. Michael Fritsch is in. Casey said, "Yes, I can't wait to play that. When does it come out?" Well, let's discuss that. It's going to be a while. They did not put out a press release. However, the president of EA Sports and the guys that are involved with the development of the game came out and discussed with multiple reporters, no, it's not coming out this year. No, it's probably not coming out next year. It's going to be a little while because you don't just, you know, snap your fingers and there you go. This will have a different feel than the Madden games. This will have a McKinnon said no more downloading NCAA 14 and all that extra shit for Gary. No, it's true. There right now, what they said is that there are over 100 teams that have signed on with them so far. Right now, there's 130 Division I teams, and that number will change, et cetera, et cetera, because there are some teams that want to move up from FCS to FBS, some teams that will move from FBS down to FCS, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point. It will ultimately change, of course. They've got over 100. They need to get to 130. They probably will. They have signed these deals with CLC, which is a collegiate licensing group. There are some big schools like Georgia that are not involved with the CLC. They've got a different licensing bunch, so they'll have to work out the details with them as well. Of course, there is the name, image, likeness stuff that is coming down from Congress that's going to have to be figured out as well. My guess is because college athletes do not have a union, there is no group that can represent college athletes, even with the NIL stuff, unless they decide to throw that in at the last minute, and I don't expect the government, the feds, to come in and save the day on this. I expect this to be, you're going to have the teams, you're going to have all the pageantry, you're going to have the stadiums and the bowl games and the playoff and all that stuff that you can license out. You won't be able to get the realistic players. You can still go through and recruit and play your dynasty modes and all that kind of mess. It's going to be somewhat like it was. I would imagine they're going to throw in some new bells and whistles because it's been damn near a decade at this point. But I think this is a big, big deal. It's going, like, obviously we don't know what's going to happen with the NIL stuff, right? The name, image, likeness stuff. But Chris, before we really dive into it, what were your thoughts when you saw this come out?
I'm going to be the wet blanket on this. I don't care. I don't play games. I just don't. I've never been a gamer in my life.
That totally fair. And there are a lot of people.
I don't knock people. I spent my entire time in college in dorm rooms watching other people play these games.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's acceptable. I don't poo-poo them. I don't look down on other people too. They're way too complicated for me. Okay.
I can understand.
They're just way too complex and complicated.
It will. So Casey said, surely it'll play like Madden. Terry said, must be nice to play video games because I have damn near every console made and never get to play them. Yeah, that's I'm in the same boat. I don't have all the consoles, but I've got like three and I don't get to play any of them. Brown Yeti, they need to have all the uniforms and seasons they've missed on the new one. I'm sure they will have some legacy stuff, of course. Michael is happy to see EA bring it back. Terry said, I was always partial to NHL 94 on Super Nintendo. I do love the Super Nintendo stuff, and I do still have my Super Nintendo. Ryan said, crowd noise will be set with just friends and family, hashtag COVID. It's going to be nuts. Akbar jumps in. Hello, nice to see Akbar in here. So we got the full crew in today. So here is why this was an important announcement, right? College football hit a peak with the college football playoff a few years ago. And, of course, when you have the same teams dominating the playoff conversation and you have the number one, I guess, platform for college football being ESPN, and they are the ones that are constantly driving this college football playoff narrative, you can only get four teams in. And if you got three of the same teams getting in every single year and then you got a rotating cast for that number four spot, yeah, it's going to get really, really damn boring. There's also the idea that you bring this game back and the popularity of the sport on a national level from the West Coast over, I think it's going to coincide with them deciding to expand the playoff. So you will be able to get in way, way more people, way more fans of the game that wouldn't initially be fans. And the reason I bring this up, you can look at the popularity of soccer over the last, we'll call it a decade. Because yep. That's when FIFA started to become popular on EA Sports on all these different platforms. That is the number one selling sports video game over the last 10 years. And people and kids that normally would not have been fans of soccer because their parents didn't play it, they didn't watch it, all that kind of stuff, even 20-year-olds that are in college and whatnot, they didn't play soccer. However, once the video game comes out and it becomes this, hey, man, have you played FIFA? Have you played da-da-da-da-da? It becomes this gigantic thing, and they are making mega money off of it, right?
It's not just making mega money. It's popularized the sport.
Exactly.
It was when FIFA soccer came out, that the World Cup became a huge deal in America.
Oh, yes.
It went from being this thing that American sports fans could care less about.
They'd pay attention, but it was, you know, yay, rah, go red, white,
blue.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a little bit, but it wasn't much.
And nobody knew what they were talking about when they watched it. They had no idea, and then all of a sudden it changed.
And then all of a sudden it blew up, and it's not unexplainable to look back and see. That's when FIFA came out, and that's when FIFA blew up.
So the biggest thing
is, college football needs this, by the way.
Yes, but,
and it's not just about the same four teams making it over and over again. There are tons. We live in the South. We live in the heart of college football lore, and I'm telling you, there are still tons of high school kids that have grown up that just do not care.
Oh yeah, you can find it on TV everywhere, right? It's on basically every night of the week during the fall.
That's right.
You can watch football anytime you want to. The difference is there are so many different methods.
They are watching TV on their iPads. They're not watching they're not sitting on the couch and watching TV the way we grew up doing it.
They're playing Call of Duty and they're playing
video games. Yeah. But if they're watching TV, they're doing it on their iPad, and those games, not many of them are on their iPad, and if they are, they're not watching them. It doesn't matter that they can get it on their iPad. They're still not doing it. They haven't grown with this love. So that's going to, I think, affect it. I do think a newer, younger generation's going to get excited about college football.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll learn the traditions that you didn't know. There was a bunch of traditions that when I was younger and first kind of getting really deep into the sport, all the schools around here, I knew their traditions, the ones I liked, the ones I didn't. The big schools, I knew their traditions. But there was a ton of traditions I had no clue about. I didn't know anything about. And it was this game that taught me those things. Sitting in the dorm room, or sitting, that was back in the day of sitting in some guy's floor in his bedroom in high school, like watching them play and saying, what is that? Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know they did that because I didn't know Colorado ran a Buffalo out because I'd never seen a Colorado football game on TV.
Yeah. I mean, it completely changed the way that the sport was recognized across the country. And it will do the same thing here. It's going to take a little while for it to get out. Of course, like I said, there's only 100-something schools that have already signed up. By the end, they will get everybody because recruiting-wise, you have to have it. You have to be able to allow the kids that are coming to your school play with their own school on this video game. It will become a necessity, so that will happen. Everything will be taken care of. But yeah, this is a big, big deal for the sport as far as the popularity of it goes. This year, of course, now obviously things are a little different with COVID and everything. You had the lowest rating for a college football national championship game ever. The lowest viewership. Not ever. Let me take that back. Ever since they started doing the BCS, it's the lowest one, right? Lowest thing that they've had.
And this is a time when everybody's at home. Everybody's not going out and doing other things.
Exactly. So you have to find a way to popularize the sport, and this is a big, big way to do it. Now college basketball probably needs to do the same thing, and we'll see if EA Sports or 2K or whoever it is wants to get involved with that. McKinnon said, I still feel the easiest way to do this is to pay each player whose likeness is used once they graduate. Literally just put it in an account. Yes, no. We've talked about that before on this show. However, as of right now, that's not something that's allowed. That could change with the NIL. That could change if they allow a group to actually represent the players. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that you could get around this. You pay everybody $1,500 and, you know.
Now you're crazy, though. I'm telling you. This game don't make that much damn money.
Oh, that's not true.
Every college football player, $1,500?
That's
how many college football players are on a roster?
Well, I mean, you're talking 85 scholarship, but let's say 100.
Okay.
100 per school.
Per team, that's $150,000 times 130 schools. That's $19.5 million. The EA Sports ain't doing that.
They will crush that in no time.
Giving that profit away. They're not doing that.
It was the second highest selling game, Gary, that EA Sports did behind Madden.
They're not giving $20 million away.
I mean, we'll see.
Not in sponsorships. Not to have a kid on a roster that nobody's ever heard of. No, they would rather pay Trevor Lawrence $5 million to make sure they have his likeness and don't give a shit about anybody else on Clemson.
Maybe you're right.
But they are not paying $20 million so they can get every bench player on Ole Miss's football team. That's just not going to happen.
The game typically, these new consoles and whatnot, it'll retail from anywhere from $49.99 up to $69.99. They used to sell over 10 million copies of this game just in the U.S., just domestically.
Yes, but that's a company that needs to make profit to continue to develop and do that.
Agreed. But you're talking about $19 million when their profit on the game, if they just sold, if they sold 10 million copies, right, which is what their average was. I would imagine the first bump will be significantly bigger.
That's right. But on average,
that's $500 million.
Yes, that's, but if, that's if not it's, all if profit. It's only 50 that's bucks. Revenue, not right, profit. Right. You've never ran a business. That's revenue, not profit.
I understand, but I'm just going by basic numbers right now.
So most businesses are going to run on a 30% profit margin.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you just want to safely say 30% of that $500 million is what they actually make, it's still a shitload of money, by the way.
Oh, yes.
But they're not willingly giving away. If they're giving $20 million away, they might pay $20 million for sponsorship. They absolutely might pay more than $20 million for sponsorship. It won't be across the board everybody getting the same amount. They are going to hire and individually pay specific people that they want.
That's it. You might be right about that.
I promise you I'm right on that.
Let's see. Terry said, got all the Nintendo systems, Sega, PlayStation, the Xbox. My son gets to play them. I only play the Switch from time to time. My wife has a Switch. I have never played it. Yeti said, when the new game comes out, I'm taking Coastal Carolina to the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about.
Ryan, why'd I get fired? I want to know why I got fired.
Oh, I'm not even there yet. Hold on. Andrew said, for example, I played NCAA 14 before I was a fan of college football. That game made me a fan. Exactly. It makes the sport popular, right? Brown Yeti, I grew up playing football games, but it was NCAA that we played. Madden, there's 32 teams. It gets boring to play the same teams. Yeah, especially for kids, right? Like, that's the generation that you have to turn into fans of the sport. It is the kids between 12 years old and early 20s, right? And those are the ones that you need to convince to be fans of this game. And I think they can do that. Like, they did it before. So, Ryan Johnson, I'm betting 6 units on the Chiefs' money line. I will get to that. Let's see. Going to run dynasty mode and hire Chris as the AD. Let's see. Michael brought up good old Rafi, A&M, and Colorado at Mile High Stadium next year. Come out west. Maybe. I know you were talking about going out there.
That would be an incredible beautiful game.
In the 08 game, my brother would kick 65-yard field goals with Boise State. It was great. Casey said, I'm creating myself at quarterback for Kentucky and winning it all. Ryan, of course, Chris just got fired as AD. That might be because of your thinking as far as not wanting to spend the money. But that's as a business owner.
I'm just
owner.
Telling you how business yeah. people make. Listen, this isn't what I think is going to happen. It is what I think is going to happen. I just know how businesses work. They run on profit. And yep. EA Sports has board shareholders to answer to. They just give. I guarantee you they're not going to allow them to pay people that nobody knows their name. That's just not going
to
happen.
Well, unless it's a group, right? Like you have to.
No, yeah. If they're a union, and then they're going to give the union X amount of dollars, and the union can split it up however they want. Yeah. But no union works.
It might not be $1,500 per player or whatever. It might be significantly less.
I'm just telling you, as long as they're never going to unionize, that's just not going to happen. Our country's not going to allow it. By the way, union busters are a thing, and they're just not going. They're going to make sure it doesn't happen.
Andrew said, so you're saying it may just start with the big name players' likenesses first? Probably not. If not everybody gets to do it, then nobody will get to do it. Like it's EA because it's a major. It all depends on this NIL stuff, right? As of right now, it's going to be random generated players for the teams that you know and love. And that's it. So, McKinnon, I have no doubt the NCAA would help EA pay because of what it does to help the NCAA's pocketbook. Well, there's a thing here. This is not going to be called NCAA football. This is EA Sports College football. Like, so far as I know,
the NCAA because as the sport gets more popular, then more people are buying NCAA apparel.
That's
more people
true.
are, No, the NCAA will absolutely grow from this. I don't need their name on it.
Yeah, no, I agree. There is a little talk about the FBS and the NCAA splitting as far as college football is concerned, but
I mean, you know how I feel. I would have done it a long time ago.
Oh, agreed.
Many years ago, I would have done this.
But the president of EA brought up, like, we pay attention to what's going on in the sport. There's a reason why we have not put NCAA on this game. That we're branding wise, it's going to be college football going forward. That's interesting to me. Very interesting, because who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with it? But it is big for the sport, of course, and. You know, I'm excited to see it back, but I think it's going to be a couple of years before we get it. So, Casey said they need to make college basketball game with the Final Four tournament. Yes, they do need to do that. They used to, but that was not a big, big seller. So, who knows if they're going to bring it back. But the college football one, man, it was a massive, massive moneymaker for them. Moving on, let's talk about college football's National Signing Day, and there was basically jack crap that happened today. Terrion Arnold, the number 50 overall player, announced that he was signing with Alabama. So that just boosts Alabama's number one all-time recruiting class. Their score is like a 327 right now, like 327 point something. There we go. 327 point. Nope, I don't have it on here. Either way, it's a ridiculous class. The biggest class or the highest rated class before this was 2010 Florida, which was the last year of Urban Meyer, and they just had a ridiculous haul, and it's NFL player after NFL player in that list. Now, they didn't really do much with it because Urban Meyer left after that, and they got Will Muschamp, but that recruiting class took Will Muschamp to an 11-2 record at Florida. So you got to know that they were pretty talented. I think the biggest story of this, aside from Alabama, it's the typical bunch in the top 10 here. It's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU at 4, Clemson at 5, Oregon 6, A&M 7, USC 8, Notre Dame 9, Michigan 10, and then Oklahoma at 11. But Oklahoma's got a bunch of transfers coming in. Oklahoma only had 17 high school commits coming in. Michigan kind of surprised me at number 10, although maybe they shouldn't. You know, Michigan's always going to get good players. It is what it is. The biggest story for me, though, and Chris, I have not told you about this, but Jackson State was the number one FCS recruiting class.
Well, there was no doubt that was going to happen.
They were number 84 overall, like FBS included. So let me scroll down here, and I'll tell you who they are close to. But they signed 3 4 stars and 7 3 stars, and then they had just a plethora of transfers from FBS programs. Jackson State is right in between Coastal Carolina and Nevada. That's pretty nuts to me. Jackson
State. It doesn't surprise me at all.
No. Deion Sanders' first recruiting class, you know, his son, I mean, he's a top 250 recruit. He's number 238. They got a couple of, community college guys, JUCO kids. You know, the transfers that they're bringing in, they have got a guy from Tennessee that's jumping over that's immediately eligible. Anybody that moves from FBS to FCS is immediately eligible. Right. Keith Corbin, wide receiver from Houston. He was a former 3-star that played better than that. You got a pro-style quarterback from North Texas. You've got a wide receiver from Louisville. You've got another wide receiver from Ohio, a defensive tackle from Auburn, an offensive tackle from UCF, a linebacker from Missouri. You got an outside linebacker that is a former 4-star from USC, a 3-star from South Carolina that switched over, another tackle from Missouri, a wide receiver, a 4-star wide receiver from Florida State, and then you got a 3-star cornerback from Mississippi State that swapped over. This is absurd. Like, this is absolutely crazy, and I cannot wait to see who ends up scheduling Jackson State and who gets caught, because you know it's going to happen. Like, I am so pumped about the state of Mississippi right now, recruiting-wise and just as far as entertainment goes.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the best, I'm not going to say the best, a really, really strong candidate here is Southern Miss's Will Hall, and he gets no attention in the state of Mississippi between Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, and Deion Sanders. And it's a shame because Will Hall is one hell of a football coach.
Yeah, but he's a coach. He's not a recruiter. He's not going to make any splashy state like signings or anything like that.
Yeah.
He's just a guy. He's an X's and O's. He's a schemer, and that's fine.
Yeah. No, you're right. You are right about that. So I'm pumped to see what all of them do, but man.
He's also half of those guys' age, by the way.
That's you're 100% right about that.
That's the other part of it, is these guys are closer to 60. Maybe not Lane. He's like in the 30s. So.
Yes. Lane is what? Like mid, I want to say he's mid 40s at this point.
I bet he's mid 40s, but yeah. But Leach and Deion are.
Could you imagine that? Man, Lane Kiffin has been through, this is his, what, sixth head coaching job? Is that right, or is it fifth?
Well, yeah, he started out on third base. I mean, when your first head coaching job ever is the Raiders.
And then his only two coordinator positions were USC under Pete Carroll and Alabama under Nick Saban. I mean, that is just bananas to think about. But when you're Monty Kiffin's kid, you know, you can get all kind of stuff. Brown Yeti said, yeah, glad Alabama got better. They really needed it. Michael jumps in. Michael Fritsch said LJ Johnson picked A&M over Texas, added him to Spiller and Akane. That was kind of expected, I believe. Let's see. I hope we don't have Jackson State on the schedule until Sanders is somewhere else. Is Deion Sanders coaching Jacksonville State? Asked Casey. No, Jackson State. HBCU in Jackson, Mississippi. And they're always a lot of fun anyway. But now it's just a whole nother level. Let's see. How many championships has Lane won as a head coach? Asked Huey. Two. If my memory serves correct, he won two CUSA championships at Florida Atlantic. Did he win a Pac-12 title?
Well, I don't know about that. And I don't know if that's what Huey was talking about.
It's,
I don't know if he was talking about conference championships, Gary.
Well, I mean, no national.
I don't know that anybody in the world is talking about conference champions when they ask how many championships has somebody won.
That's a valid point. Valid point. Let's see. Do you think Ole Miss makes a run of the playoffs? No. Let's get off this. Let's talk the Super Bowl. Chris, are you ready for some NFL?
Yeah, man.
Let's dive into it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Super Bowl 55. I am pretty excited about this. Let's start off before we start breaking things down, etc. The tweet that was sent by Adam Schefter. Can you explain this to me a little bit to kind of give the audience, you know, some ideas of what in the hell is happening that could alter the course of the game this Sunday?
So Adam Schefter tweets out, there were over 20 Chiefs players and staffers, including Patrick Mahomes, scheduled Sunday to get a haircut with the barber who tested positive for COVID, per sources. The Chiefs acted wisely and aggressively and pulled the barber mid-cut once the results came in. So somebody got half a haircut, okay? So that's not good for that guy. And then other people obviously had their haircut by this guy. Now, I don't think there's any way on earth any of these players that are starters, our major coaches, are going to test positive for COVID for the Super Bowl. That's just me. It's just my opinion. But I don't think there's any way on earth the NFL wants to deal with this.
No, not at all.
And I think they are going to lose those samples somewhere in the mist. And if you don't get a negative, well, no news is good news. We just assume it's positive unless it comes back negative, and therefore they're going to hire their own Butch Jones to spit in a cup that says Patrick Mahomes on it. And that's what I think. I don't think there's any way on earth we're playing this game without any meaningful players because of this. I do find it strange that you would test somebody to make sure they're okay to be there and then not wait for the results before you allow them to be there.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
Why test them at all if you're just going to let them in any damn way?
Well, unless you're testing on the regular, right? Like three times. Well, most team employees have been testing every day, right?
Yeah, but this isn't a team employee. This is a barber that they're bringing in to cut people's hair.
I mean, that is strange. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't have tested him.
Obviously, test him before he comes in, but then say, hey, bro, you don't come in until we get your test. And then once we have your test back, then you're allowed in.
So Huey said if he was showing symptoms. Like, I guess if he wasn't showing symptoms, then...
I'm certain he wasn't showing symptoms or else he would have never made it in the door.
I mean, I just...
I got to believe that everybody walking in the door gets their temperature taken and, you know, that kind
of
stuff.
That's my thought. Like, I would imagine that, but Huey said people can test positive and have no symptoms. We know that.
No, we understand that. We understand that. I'm assuming this is somebody who is asymptomatic. I should know that word by now. And tested positive. But that's irrelevant. If you're going to test people before letting them come into your facilities to do a service, why in the hell test them if you're not going to wait for the results? That's my question. If you're just going to let them in because they don't show any symptoms and stuff, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, why are we testing them if we're not going to wait for the results?
So Brown Yeti said this could be a false positive. Huey said if it was a rapid test, there's evidence of false positives and false negatives.
Now, I understand but that's all the thing. Of that. It's, you're not following my logic. No. Nobody's answering my question.
I'm going along with what you're saying. If it's a rapid test, it's 15 minutes. Wait the damn 15 minutes.
Wait 15 minutes.
But if that's the case, then you've only got one guy that got half a cut. And
If it's a regular test and it's 2 days, then they can wait 2 days to get the damn haircut. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Like, this is where the testing stuff bothers me. This is where you're doing that testing as strictly a show because you're testing people and then you're just letting them come on in. You don't have the results back. You don't have anything. You're just testing them. Then why the hell are we testing if we're just not gonna wait for the test?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I'll tell you this. If I was in school and I took a test and the teacher just threw it in the garbage, I'd be pissed. Like, that's all we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. I don't know what to make of this. I will tell you this. If I was a player that made my first Super Bowl, whether I'm sitting on the bench or whatever, I made my first Super Bowl, and I would have to miss it because a damn barber tested positive and had started cutting hair before they got their test results back. Like, I don't know what I would do.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd be
miss.
Mad at hell.
I mean, I wouldn't miss. I just wouldn't. I mean, I'd pull Clayton Kershaw. I'd just be like, I'm just gonna play. I don't give a shit. I'm just gonna play.
Yeah, I'm
just gonna play. Yes, and I'm gonna willingly put everybody else at risk of getting COVID. I don't care. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for me. I don't care.
Did you see Huey?
No, I can't read. If they're not on YouTube, I can't read it. It's too small.
He said, I had to get tested Monday. The anal swab is more accurate. Apparently, I went back Tuesday to make sure that it was done correctly. Brown Yeti, because it's all a show, very few of the players actually care. Let's see. Terry said, I drink alcohol every night to treat my insides from the Rona. And then McKinnon says, odd as it seems, I think the real storyline of the game is going to be how Kansas City's line holds up to the Tampa D. McKinnon jumping in here with the actual real football talk. But come on, man. We're talking about COVID testing and whatnot, man.
We're talking about a barber screwing up the Chiefs.
Let's do move into that, though. Into the actual game. We're going to preview. We're going to give our picks and whatnot.
Ryan, you can't comment anymore until you tell me why I got fired. I have a right to know.
Hey, so I am... There's a lot of prop bets, of course. There's all this kind of stuff. I'm not doing a ton of that this year. I don't have a great feel for this game. I'll go ahead and tell you that. McKinnon said, in the offseason, every Kansas City lineman got reps in every position on the line, so at least the backups are not doing it for the first time within the first 2 weeks. And so for those that don't know, that are listening, that don't understand what's happening, both of the tackles for the Chiefs are out for this game. That's going to be a fairly big ordeal. That Tampa Bay defensive line, those reps in the offseason really, I don't know that those reps in the offseason really mattered, is what McKinnon says. Now that Vita Vea is back, he was an absolute monster against the Packers. And he had not played since week four. And that line with him is completely different. I mean, just completely different. Let me give you some stats right quick, just to give everybody the rundown on the analytics side of this. DVOA. Big, big predictive analytic metric that Football Outsiders came up with. And I'll go ahead and tell you. These two teams are pretty damn evenly matched. The Chiefs, number 2 in offensive DVOA. The Bucs are number 3. The Chiefs are number 13 in defensive DVOA. And they are number 15 for the Bucs. The Bucs are number 15. As far as special teams, the Bucs are number 8. And the Chiefs are number 17. So there is a slight advantage for the Bucs there. But how much does special teams matter in this game? Obviously, we will see. But that's the way it goes right now. Ryan Succop has done a pretty fantastic job for them at kicker. The line right now is Chiefs minus 3. Chris, you wanna go ahead and dive in here? Tell me your thoughts on it.
So I want to talk about the Chiefs line. I think a lot of people, I think it's important. I think it's a big deal. But the Chiefs don't run the ball up the middle, and Patrick Mahomes doesn't sit in the pocket and throw the football.
Yep.
I just think if you think you're going to press him with four guys and it's going to matter, it's not. It's just not. They play the game outside the tackle box. They just do.
Well, we've talked about this, and there are a lot of really good offensive teams that don't have great offensive lines.
But yes, that's right. It doesn't matter as much to certain schemes. Certain schemes, it matters a lot. Other schemes, it matters none. I think in this case, it's going to matter very little.
Now, if your line is putrid like the Bengals, obviously that is a concern. Well, I don't think we have that issue.
Run a scheme that's straight up the middle, and they have a pocket passing quarterback. Like this is not Patrick Mahomes and Clyde and Le'Veon Bell and those types of running backs. Like this is not that.
Yeah. No. Okay. Okay.
I mean, this is just two totally different schemes.
Agreed.
So they play the game outside the tackle box, which means you pressing them up the middle just doesn't matter. It just doesn't. With that all being said. I'm not, and this is me. This is I'm wearing my Pats gear today. This is me. I'm not betting against Tom. Now, it's not like sacrilege to bet against Tom. He's made it to 9 Super Bowls. So against the spread, he's only 4-5. If you bet against him every time, you make money. So I'm just not going to do it. This is the first Super Bowl that he's ever been an underdog outside of the Rams Super Bowl.
So Huey said, is this Sue's first Super Bowl? And the answer to that is no, because he was with the Rams in 2018, right?
Yep, he was with the Rams 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
Casey's jumped in. Chiefs literally have the worst O-line in Super Bowl history. Injury bug and opt-outs. Brady's rigged to win. I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah, all those opt-outs, the NFL knew Tom Brady was going to make it to the Super Bowl. They just knew that he was going to take Tampa Bay, who hadn't been in the Super Bowl in 20 years. We're going to make it to the Super Bowl.
The line is Chiefs minus 3, and the total is sitting at 55.5, 56, depending on the book that you get it. At first, before we get to who's going to win the game, all that good stuff, which you've already – you're rolling Tom. I get it.
I'm rolling Tom.
What do you think about the total here?
I have no opinion on total. I could see it being under. I could see it being a low-scoring game.
I think it's going to be under.
Because both these defense could step up, make big plays. I could also see it being a shootout.
I can see both ways. I think it is much more likely to be a little bit more of a defensive game. both of these coaches, while they are aggressive offensively, they have shown a propensity to kind of reel it back in and play a little more conservatively in big time games, right? And the Chiefs did the same thing against the Browns earlier in the playoffs. Now they absolutely let it fly against the Bills, but I think they felt like they had a big time advantage there. With these two defenses, I feel pretty good. Let's see, Terry, inviting us over to the Super Bowl party at the new house. We might have to see what's going on with that. All right, so let me say this. I'm going to roll with the Chiefs, -3. These two teams have already played. The Chiefs won 27-24 in Tampa back in November. That was the last time that the Chiefs have allowed a 300-yard passer. Brady was, and the reason that Brady got to 342 yards or whatever it was simply because the Chiefs were already up 27-10 at the end of the third quarter. So, of course, Tampa Bay, every time they got the ball back, it was Brady pass, Brady pass, Brady pass. If we don't get into a situation like that where, you know, the Bucs are able to run the football at least a little bit, I think they're going to stay on that. Let's see. Ryan says over, under 1.5 interceptions. I'd probably go over that.
Yeah, I'd go over that.
I know Brady's is like over half an interception is -170. It's like, yeah,
they assume he's going to throw at least one. And that's that Bruce Arians offense. I mean, that's just let it rip, tater chip, and let it fly. And just, you know.
Yeah.
You don't worry about turnovers, especially on third down.
So. Yeah, that's very, very true.
I mean, that's the style of play they make. So I'll tell you prop-wise, props that I like.
Okay? I've got two of them. Go ahead.
Well, so the two props, and I don't know the payouts on them yet or now. I looked at them, golly, Sunday.
Yeah, mine. I looked like Monday. That's when I made my bets.
So I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this: David Njoku and the litany of tight ends for the Browns had the best game of their career against this defense. Yep. I think Gronk and I think Cameron Brate both get touchdowns, and it was like +280 to Gronk to score any touchdown, and it was like +210 or 220 or something like that for Cameron Brate to score a touchdown at any time in the game. I just think that's going to happen. I think he's going to get scores to the tight ends because I think this Chiefs defense is really bad against tight ends. I think that I would play any like the overs
by the on way,
both
by the way,
of those guys' catches.
That's so to roll along with that tight end stat, Gronk, his best game of the season was against Kansas City.
Chiefs.
Yep, six receptions on 7 targets for 106 yards. Now, he did not have a touchdown.
He didn't have a touchdown, but they really struggle covering the tight end. So I would go over both of those guys' yards, catches, and that they would both score a touchdown. Because you're getting such positives, if one happens and the other one doesn't, you're still making money. For both of them to get shut out in the Super Bowl, I just don't see happening.
Maybe I'm wrong. Cameron Brate had 4 receptions for 34 yards in that game against Kansas City, and that was his third best game of the year. So once we got into the playoffs, it's been a little different. Brate has been pretty good. Of the regular season, that was his second best game.
That's what I trust and believe. I think Tom is going to rely on those guys, and I just think the Chiefs really struggle to cover them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can certainly agree with you there. As far as I will say this, as far as the big ones, you know, Tom Brady passing yards and all that, his passing yard total is set at 301.5 yards, and
that's a lot.
I'm gonna go under that.
So the rule of thumb, realistically, now it's not fun by any stretch of the imagination, but if you want to watch a Super Bowl and make money, you bet the under on all of them because people pound overs all day long. Almost every prop is going to finish under for Vegas's stake.
Well,
Vegas
especially needs with big name
all
players.
Of these props to finish under for all the stars. Yes.
Casey asks, can you parlay two props? I like Gronk scores a touchdown and Brady MVP. Usually they are not going to allow you to parlay props.
Yeah. I was about to say some places are going to be real tight on doing stuff like that.
So that depends on the book. And obviously like, all these different ones in the U.S. that are doing all these different promotions and whatnot, they'll allow you to do some of that stuff.
Some of that stuff. So yeah,
most of the offshore, it's you pick a prop and you bet it, and that's it. So
yep.
Matt said, what's the line on Jackson Mahomes making a cringy TikTok dance video during the game? Probably pretty good, I would imagine. And I'm sure that you can find it out there. It was not at any of the books that I looked at, but I'm sure it's there. The other one, Chris Godwin, under 5.5 receptions. That's one that I'm rolling with. The juice was only like minus 120 on that. Yeah. He has not had so the last game, I want to say it was against the Rams, was the last time that he passed or he caught over 5 passes. Let's see. Yes, it was against the Chiefs. That was the last time. He had 8 receptions for 97 yards. Since then, he has caught 2, 4, 5, 5, 5, 4, 5. I'm going to go under the 5.5.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mouths to feed with that Buccaneers offense.
Most of the unders are going to hit unless this turns into a crazy offensive game, because the Super Bowl, the people making these bets know that everybody wants to pick their favorite player and pound the under or pound the over. Yeah. That's just what people like to do. That's what the general public wants to do. The other thing that I'm probably going to do is I'm probably going to sniff out a couple of defensive players for MVP of the game because they're like 100-1 odds. But
oh, yeah,
if it's a low scoring game and Tom looks like shit and the Bucs win, but Devin White gets an interception and a fumble return and scores on one of those, like, he's going to be the MVP, you know, same thing for like the Honey Badger or Chris Jones or somebody like that. Like, If it's a low-scoring, ugly game and a big defensive play is made to win the game for that team, that defensive player is probably going to get it, and you get 100. I'm not saying you bet the same that you would bet a game on, but throw a dollar or two on them, because a couple bucks, because it's 100-1 odds.
Yeah. I mean, it's and if any of them hit.
Yeah. I mean, you just assume you're throwing away money, but if it hits, it hits. So – That's what I like to do is basically I'm gonna have a couple of these defensive guys that I think might make a big play here or there and can swing it if we get a low scoring game. Because if we get a real low scoring game, you know, the game's probably not gonna go the way I want. You know, I'm not gonna have enjoyed it. I'm not gonna bet, you know, win a lot of bets or whatever, because I'm probably because I have no opinion on it, I'm probably gonna bet the over because it's just more fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really good chance that I'm not going to hit my tight end hits, you know, so you kind of want that thing in your back pocket. And if it doesn't hit, you threw that money away. Sure, it's gambling, but if it hits, it's a lottery ticket.
Now you are correct about that. All right. So I like the under 56 on this, and I like the Chiefs -3. I have been betting against the Chiefs a lot, and obviously, with the Bills.
Well, you would have made a lot of money betting against the Chiefs over the last 2 months.
But I thought that they've
covered
going
one
to,
game in nine?
In the last 10. They're 1-9 in their last 10.
Oh, yeah.
So okay, the last one. So they had not covered in 9 straight games.
So betting against them is not scary either.
Correct. However, when it comes to the Super Bowl, when it comes to a situation like this, I was not a believer in the fact that you could flip a switch and just turn it on when you want to. And I'm thinking that I might have been wrong about that. Like, when they are ready to light things up, they do it. And it's, you know, obviously I hit with the Browns. I hit at the end of the season. I hit, you know, all that. But they figure out when they want to score, and they do it. And I do think that they are a significantly better team than the Bucs. Would it surprise me if Tom Brady were to come out and win the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Because we've seen him do it over and over and over again.
Yep.
But I do think that the Chiefs are the better football team just overall, even with a banged up offensive line. So
the Chiefs are the best team in the league, and it's not close. I mean, it's really not. They've played a lot of close games, but there's no team in the NFL right now that's close to them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. McGinnon jumped in, by the way. He said, y'all know I'm a Chiefs boy, but being a Falcons fan taught me to never underestimate that old wonderful bastard named Tom. Of course, I'm hoping the Chiefs win, but damn, beating a team like that twice in the season is extremely difficult.
Yep.
It's true.
And in the playoffs, it's just, he's a different player. All those times in a regular season game that he just fell down and took the sack, he's not going to do that in this game. Like, He's not taking hits in October, in November, in August or September. He's just not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
It's February. He's taking he's standing in there and he's making a play. It's different.
Chad, Matt's brother, jumped in. He said, how does the Fisher injury factor in? We were just talking about that. I think that the offensive line is going to be fine for the Chiefs. No, they're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but we talked about scheme at the very beginning
of this. I think they're going to be bad, but I don't think that they're going to be able to keep up with it because most of their run game is going to be a lot of jet sweeps, pitches to the outside, Mahomes getting outside. They just don't stand in the pocket and play between the tackles very much.
Well, a lot of dump offs to Clyde. I mean, that's really what he did against the Bills.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to let the defensive players through and then, yeah, dump the ball off. So
you got that right. Casey said Tyreek had 200 yards in one quarter of that game to bait people into taking the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, look, Tyreek Hill, like, if he.
Gary, you're arguing with a madman who believes this is all scripted.
No, agreed.
So we can either go down this rabbit hole.
No. I'm not wanting to go down the rabbit hole. So the Tyreek Hill thing, is this, let's see, the cornerback on Tyreek would be a good candidate for MVP, but I still think Brady gets it. Tyreek Hill, what are his stats so far this season? That's what I'm curious about. He had 110 yards against Cleveland. He had 172 against Buffalo. No touchdowns in either of those games. He has only had one game, goodness gracious, Tyreek Hill against Tampa Bay earlier this season, 13 receptions, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns. I don't know what the MVP stats are for him, or not stats, options.
I'm going to tell you that if he does all of that, it's going to go to Mahomes because Mahomes got all those yards also.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill is plus 1,000. Mahomes is minus 125 for MVP.
I'm just telling you, all offensive players, none of them are going to get it because all of their numbers are also going to go to the quarterback. So you're just throwing money away if you're picking an offensive player. Just pick the quarterback then.
So Super Bowl MVPs. Have we had any other than a quarterback in a while?
Well, Julian Edelman won it in the year of the Rams game, but it was a super close, crazy defensive game where offense did not matter, and he made the only big play of the game.
All right, Brady has had 4.
Brady's won 4.
All right, so here's what we've had. We've had Mahomes, Edelman, Nick Foles, Tom Brady, Von Miller for the Broncos, and obviously, that was a defensive-led team because they just dragged the corpse of Peyton Manning over to a Super Bowl win. Then you had Tom Brady. You had Malcolm Smith, Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Santonio Holmes, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Hines Ward, Deion Branch, Tom Brady. You've had a couple of defensive players. Both of them have been linebackers. So, I think, I mean, Devin White would be what you were talking about earlier, that would be one hell of a...
I'm just telling you, that's because the odds are 1,000 to 1.
His are plus 5,000. Shaquille Barrett is plus 5,000.
Yeah, Shaquille Barrett's another one that I would look at. There's a couple, and they're lottery tickets. Yeah. You're pissing money away on the lottery. But if it hits...
Oh, if it hits, it'll be so
because
nice.
I believe that any offensive player getting it, all those stats are good. Neither one of these teams run the ball conventionally. So half of the running yards the running backs get are going to go to the quarterback as well. I just think that there's no offensive player that's going to do anything good enough that's going to shine through what the quarterback gets because all of their yards and all of their touchdowns also go to the quarterback.
Willie Gay is not playing, right? Yeah, no. So Chiefs lose Willie Gay to a knee injury at practice.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think Willie Gay...
Yeah, he underwent surgery. He's still listed at two different books with MVP odds at plus 12,500.
Well, I don't think it's stupid. I just think it's lazy. It's just somebody just didn't take him off the list.
That's crazy. Let's see. Casey said Fournette should have a big game. Well, the last time that the Chiefs and the Bucks played, the Bucks only had 75 yards rushing.
Yeah, so, I don't know. But it's going to be a different game. This is just going to be a different game than that.
I mean, it certainly is. Let's see. So Kansas City, let me look at the rushing stats. And this year, as far as rushing yards go, in the playoffs alone, I mean, they gave up only 123 to Cleveland. They gave up 114 to the Bills. Chargers only got 51 on them. 117 to the Falcons. 179 to the Saints back in the regular season. Dolphins had 94. Broncos had 134. Like they've not given up a lot of rushing yards. So I don't know that I would roll with that. You know, yeah. Just saying. Let's see. Brady's going to get it no matter what, and you know why, says Casey. How is it? How could you enjoy sports if you think that it is all completely rigged? I really
I don't know how to do that. If I thought it was all rigged, I'd quit watching.
I would love.
They wouldn't get my viewership. They wouldn't. It's just not that entertaining to me. If all the outcomes are fixed,
I would really like to. You know what? At some point, I would like to call up Casey and have him on the show just in the off season and discuss why he thinks this. Like why he believes that it's this way. He said, Casey said, because I'm going to make a lot of money because it's obvious. I mean, I guess. I don't know. All right, so you are rolling with the Bucks plus +3. I'm rolling Chiefs minus -3. My props are Brady under 301.5 passing yards and Godwin under 5.5 receptions. What were your props again?
Great, and Gronk to score any touchdown.
There you go. And both of those are plus in the hundreds.
They were both a plus +200 at least. One was like 280 and one was like 220 or 230. And those numbers are going to change what they're plus. They won't change that much, I don't think. But
I think I agree with you. All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive out of here. Is there anything else that we need to hit today?
No, that's it.
Let's get out of here. All right, you guys have been fantastic. We hit 100 plus comments again. We appreciate you guys, of course. Friday, we will be discussing more Super Bowl storylines, all that kind of stuff. We'll see what comes out of Barbergate or whatever the hell's going on at Kansas City. But good gracious, who knows what will happen between now and Super Bowl Sunday. Hopefully the game goes off as scheduled and we don't have any kind of issues because I really want to watch this game and I want to see it played on time. So with that said, Brown Yeti said, guys, it's a coping mechanism for Casey. I swear. Maybe so. Oh, and he said he's tossed this out like 3 times, I believe. Rigged game of the night, Pittsburgh money line is a lock, as far as I'm guessing NHL, right? So, because I think that's the only thing that's going on, right?
That's it.
That's unless it's college basketball.
They don't have a team in Pittsburgh.
They got the Panthers. They got Jeff Capel in that bunch, but I thought they played last night. But either way, who knows? Just look for Pittsburgh and then bet the money line if you want to roll with Casey tonight. With that said, you guys go and check out winningcureseverything.com. Check out sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Chris and I will be on their Super Bowl show tomorrow discussing the game and the breakdown and all that kind of stuff.
You know what time that is?
We will be on at 3:10 p.m. Central Time, so 4:10 p.m. Eastern. And I think we're going to be on for, what, like 10 minutes? Because, they're doing guests basically all day. They're going to have Flash on there. They're going to have, you know, just the whole bunch. So, go ahead. Okay, Taylor said Penguins don't play tonight. I guess he's talking about the Panthers, college basketball. Go over and make sure that you are subscribed over on SBR Picks on YouTube. Very easy to do. Obviously, we have an off-season show week 3 for college football where we discuss Tennessee hiring Josh Heupel, the Nick Saban recruiting video leak, all sorts of different stuff over there, and our top 20 games of the 2020 college football season. We roll through them. Okay, Casey said Pitt versus Virginia Tech. Okay, there we go. So college basketball. So with that said, make sure you are subscribed to SBR Picks on YouTube. Go over to winningcureseverything.com. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. All these wonderful, normal, regular things that I always say that you can hear on every single show. With that said, we're going to get out of here. You guys take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully we can cash some tickets this weekend.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Hey,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.